Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. Open our ears and our hearts this morning, Lord, that we might apply it for our lives. Amen. Please be seated. If you want to walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat. It's a bit of a challenging statement, really. But we all understand it, don't we? We'll never achieve anything unless we try. And when we do have to try, even if what we're being asked to do seems impossible to us, well, thank goodness we have Jesus to help us then. But getting out of the boat requires us to almost suspend reason, doesn't it? Because metaphorically speaking, we're being asked to do the impossible. All our natural instincts are telling us that if we get out of the boat, as sure as eggs are eggs, we're going to get wet. But what is this boat that we're being asked to get out of? Well, here's an interesting little fact for you. In traditional churches like ours, they're made up of separate areas, and each area has a name. What's this name of this area here called? Come on. Oh, two opinions there. What was that? This is the chancel. Right, some people like to call it the sanctuary. It is the chancel, right? What's these two areas here called? Does anybody know? Come on. No, that's not coming to that bit. These are transepts. So that's the north transept, faces north, and the south. We'll face west that way. Where are you all sitting now? Where are you all sitting? In the nave. Now, here's the thing. This is why it's relevant. Nave comes from the Latin word navis. It's where we get our name navy from in English. So the nave actually means boat. You're all in the boat together in the nave. Right. And it's this idea of we being in the boat together that as disciples, the people of God then, we're in this Christian life together too. In the story we heard read about Jesus walking on the water, where's Jesus? Well, at first he's not in the boat, is he? He's out there walking towards the boat, walking on the water. Now, of course, that's impossible, isn't it? But when you're God, nothing's impossible. God, remember, is the creator of everything. And look where Jesus calls Peter to join him. On the water, in the middle of the lake. And of course, the inevitable happens. Peter takes his focus off Jesus. His fears take over, and he begins to sink. But Jesus is there, and with his help, they both get back to the boat. And they're now in a place of safety again. And notice that the rest of the disciples, where were they? They stayed firmly in the boat. And when Peter started to sink, I could just imagine some of them saying to themselves, yeah, well, we knew that would happen, didn't we? Foolish man. The fact is, though, we're more like the disciples in the boat than we are Peter. Because we like being safe, don't we? We like being secure with our friends. So we never really do anything too risky. We never take that step of faith that might ask us to get out of the boat and walk to something greater. But that is our calling. It's to leave the safety of the boat, to trust that Jesus will never leave us to sink, and to join with him by taking with our faith out there into the community. Of course, we do return to the boat to be refreshed and renewed. That's what we do when we gather here each Sunday. We don't stay out in the storms of life then forever. We don't stay out there on a permanent basis, never coming to church. Because we will sink if we do that. But we go back and forth taking the good news of Jesus Christ with us as we go. Well, three vicars and a curate went fishing one day. You've heard this one, have you? Three vicars and a curate go fishing one day. They got into a boat, went a short distance out on the lake and started fishing. Now, after a few hours, one of the vicars ran out of bait. And since they were reasonably close to the shore, he stepped over the side of the boat, walked across the water to the lake, to the bait shop. Got his bait, walked back across the water, got back into the boat. Well, a little while later, the second vicar, he ran out of bait too. He stepped over the side of the boat. He walked across the water to the bait shop. He bought his bait. He came back across the water, stepped back into the boat, and started fishing again. Well, a few minutes later, the curate also ran out of bait. He too stepped over the side of the boat and almost drowned. As the other two pulled him back into the boat, they looked at each other and said, "Do you think we should have told him where the stepping stones were?" The life of a curate. The reality is for all of us that the laws of physics do not allow us to do the impossible. So if we can't walk on water, does that mean we should stay in the boat? No. As Christians, we're called to go out into our troubled world. Why? Well, to use a sporting metaphor, you've got to be in it to win it. The point is obvious. We'll never achieve anything unless we participate. We've got to be in the world to be able to change the world. That doesn't mean that we won't fail from time to time. And maybe it's that fear of failure which stops many people from even trying in the first place. It's true in sport, but it's also true when it comes to our willingness to serve God, to allow our skills and our talents to be used for his service. So the Apostle Peter is a real example to us. He was impetuous, he made mistakes, and he had a big mouth which got him into trouble on more than one occasion. But he was the only one of the disciples prepared to give it a go. He may have started to sink, but at least he trusted Jesus enough to take the first steps. Well, we too had to be prepared to leave the safety of the boat, knowing that the basic laws of physics will not be suspended. We are, after all, subject to the same struggles in life as everyone else in this world. We're not protected from that. We need to trust that when it comes to God's mission, especially that to our own community, he will not leave us to sink. Yes, we will make mistakes and sometimes we may even fail in what we're trying to do, but we do have to be prepared to give it a go. Sometimes, though, even when God blesses our efforts, we can still feel overwhelmed by our insecurities and our circumstances. And that brings me to the story of Elijah in our first reading. Elijah at that time was being persecuted by King Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel, and he feared for his life for good reason. They wanted him dead, and Ahab certainly had the resources to do it. In the face of disaster and looking for a sign from God, Elijah has run away to hide. And he finds a cave and hides himself there. He's asking for God. He wants God to speak to him. But all he gets is a still, small, quiet voice. Now, Elijah has achieved a great deal in his life. In fact, just prior to this episode, he called down fire from heaven. And the prophets of Baal, as a result, were all destroyed. But he has to learn a lesson that God is not necessarily found in big and dramatic miracles. God, he is about to discover, is the still small voice that we often easily ignore. Elijah had to learn that God is always present, but his voice is sometimes hard to hear. So you and I then have to take our faith into the world, not with miracles, like walking on water and healing and incurable diseases. It'd be nice if we could do all those things. It would certainly make our job a lot easier, wouldn't it? But we go out with our lives built on a relationship of love and trust in God. All we have to do is to listen to that still small voice when he speaks. So when we find ourselves withdrawing to a cave out of fear, out of defeat or discouragement or despair, we have to then make a choice. We can draw the conclusion that we're all alone in our struggles and feel sorry for ourselves, or we can make the impossible leap of faith that says, I believe that God is with me, even in the sound of silence, even if I can't hear his words. Imagine how those disciples must have felt before Jesus came to them walking on the water. They'd been out all night on that boat. They were struggling to control the boat with the wind and the waves against them. I wonder what they thought during that time. Where's Jesus? Where is him when we need him to help us? Well, notice, of course, that they weren't doing anything wrong when they got into trouble. They were doing what they were told to do. But that didn't prevent them from getting caught up in a storm. Matthew's gospel tells us that Jesus didn't come to his disciples until the fourth watch of the night. Well, that's somewhere between 3 and 6 in the morning. That's a long time then to feel that Jesus had left them to it, that he didn't really care about their situation. Or he didn't know. We too sometimes wonder where God is in our times of difficulty, when we're struggling to keep our heads above water. We don't understand the delay, do we? Why doesn't Jesus just come and fix our problems? Well, as much as we would like him to, Jesus is not a Mr. Fix-It. He doesn't usually take away the storm. What he does instead is to help us to walk with him and to walk on those stormy waters. Jesus calls each one of us, just as he called Peter, to leave the safety of the boat and become involved in the issues which affect our community, as well as those which affect our church community. The waters out there may not be calm, but we're not alone. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, and in times of need, Jesus will reach out to us and, if needed, guide us back to the boat. Well, Matthew tells us also that Jesus and Peter got into the boat and the wind died down. The disciples worshipped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You see, contrary to what he looked like as he walked across the water, Jesus is no ghost. He's not some spiritual, ethereal thing. He is the living Lord, and he reaches out with his arms to save those who call upon his name. So whenever you're in trouble, call on his name. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We might not be able to physically walk on water, but if we put our trust in Jesus, nevertheless, as we step out, we will be safe, even as we leave the security of this boat. As Paul reminds us in Romans, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All this, though, requires us to have faith, which inevitably means the willingness to take risks, to embrace the unseen, to step away from the shore and into unknown waters. Of course, when we put our faith in God and keep our eyes on him, there is a risk that the world will reject us. But that's the storm that we all face. But it's better to be rejected by the world and loved by God than it is to be loved by the world and rejected by God. Wherever we find ourselves today, and we hear Jesus call us, we must put our faith into action and get out of the boat, especially if we want the greater security that Jesus offers. When we step out in faith and trust Jesus, we take him at his word. We just do it. But faith and doubt can live in the same heart, in the same person. Ask Peter, especially when he walked on water and began to sink. Well, that's what happens when we take our eyes off Jesus. One final thing. When we make a decision to get out and leave the security of the boat, and we find that it isn't as easy as it looked, when we feel that the wind and the waves are against us and wish we had kept our comfortable seat in the boat, that's when we must keep our focus on Jesus. Because one thing is certain, Jesus is out there in the community and he wants us to join him. It might be the call to be involved in visiting the lonely through our Life Friends project, or volunteer in the bookshop next door, or help out at Mainly Music, or it might be something else entirely. In fact, it might be a call to serve on vestry, or help Julian with the upkeep of the cemetery and grounds, or help with one of the many other jobs that need to be done to keep this place working. But it could also be something personal, like a call to take seriously our obligation to honour God with our resources, especially our finances. We might be safely perched in our lazy boy chairs in front of the television, but that's not what God has created us for. He has created us to be his hands and his voice in the world. And the reality is, that is seldom easy. Sometimes, when we answer Christ's call, we'll feel the wind and the roughness of the waves and we'll be afraid. But when that happens, we need to remember this story of Peter stepping out of the boat and walking towards Jesus, and the leap of faith that took. Well, if he could do it, with all his faults and his shortcomings and his foolishness at times, if he could do it, then surely so can we. Let's ponder that for a moment and then I shall pray. Heavenly Father, as we think about our own lives, Lord, and we compare our actions to those of Peter, Lord, we ask, Lord, that we would take inspiration from his actions and trust in you. Help us, Father, so to trust you that others might see your good works that we're doing in the community and come to faith. Lord, help us to step out of the boat and to be involved with what you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.